In our first talk this morning on Medjugorje, I thought it important to give you what I consider the important aspects of Medjugorje. Not so many details that, while they're interesting, they're kind of irrelevant to the message, the secrets, the authenticity of what's happening there. And I think that's important for all of us to know. And how many here have not been to Medjugorje? Well, that's unfortunate. How many do not know the story? So then I'm right. I'm only devoting a small paragraph to what we would call the history of Medjugorje, the apparitions. They began on June 24th, 1981, in a small mountain town known as Medjugorje, near the area and resort area known as Dubrovnik, is really the way you pronounce that. It's a seaside resort on the Adriatic Sea. And our Blessed Lady has been appearing to six children, four girls, two boys. Their names, Mirjana, Ivanka, Viska, Maria, Ivan, and Jakov. She's been appearing to them every day up to and including today, over 7 years. The messages deal largely with three areas: the spiritual instruction and formation of the children, the spiritual formation of the people of the parish, and messages for the church and the entire world. Now, first, the messages for the children have brought about an amazing change in them and has brought them to a mature holiness that surprises even theologians. At this time, five of them are young adults in their mid-20s, while Jakob is still a teenager in high school. Their daily visits with our Blessed Mother has brought them special graces that have produced a deep holiness and prayerfulness that's quite visible, although it has not changed their personality. Rather, it has enriched their character and brought out the best in them. They see Our Lady just as you and I see each other, in three dimensions. They touch her and they kiss her. She's a real mother to them. She converses with them about the events of their day, answers their questions, and questions that others put to them. She instructs them on the finer points of the spiritual life and prayer, and she corrects them. And we've seen video in which there are tears in their eyes. But when they are corrected, it's personal. None of the other five hear it. She carries on six conversations with the six children, each separately. There is a loving and affectionate relationship with her. Now, the messages for the parish are given to the children every Thursday and are intended to be shared with the pilgrims from around the world and to be followed by them too, to a certain extent. These messages have produced an admirable spiritual change in the hearts of the villagers, so much so that they are a beautiful example of what a renewed parish ought to be. The messages have been carefully preserved by the Franciscans, studied and applied in their homilies at the daily masses for the people. Our Lady has gradually led the people into a greater prayerfulness, in the beginning from a few Our Fathers, Hail Marys, to a recitation of the complete 15 decades of the Rosary every day, followed by a fervent celebration of the Mass. The huge church is packed each evening with people from the villages, five of them, and with thousands of pilgrims flocking from all over the world. The present pastor, Father Pervan, says that after 2 years of the apparitions, hearing confessions of the people each month, he has not encountered anyone in the village with mortal sin. The people have overcome their long-standing anger, unforgiveness of one another. They're at peace. They're cheerful, kind to one another, and quite hospitable to the pilgrims. Besides their daily attendance at Mass and Rosary for about 3 hours, they also fast on bread and water on Fridays, and a number also fast on Wednesdays. And that also is a message of Our Lady to us too, asking us to also fast on bread and water on Wednesdays. I personally experienced their hospitality, kindness, gentleness, honesty. For example, I dropped a dollar bill unconsciously and was walking away when all of a sudden I felt a tap on my shoulder, and a man from the town handed me the dollar bill. Now, messages for the Church and the World. For the Church, some of Our Lady's messages deal with the state of the Church and the need for Catholics to convert and become more prayerful, to confess each month, to fast on Fridays, and now even on Wednesdays, for peace and the conversion of the world. Now, messages for the world point out the evils of the world, the need for all peoples to convert from their lives of sin, to beware of the snares and deceits of Satan and spirits of evil, warnings of punishments on the world for the great sins of atheism, sacrilege, devil worship, abortion, greed, and other great crimes. Now, the basic message can be put into a few words. First, faith in God. Why is she appearing in an atheistic country, if not to challenge their basic belief or their unbelief? She's really upsetting their political cart. Mary is appearing in a country that, by its political beliefs, is atheistic, challenges that belief. She's calling us to reaffirm our belief in God, who has the power to heal us in our personal wounds and to heal our wounded society. The next word is reconciliation, a healing of relationships between ourselves and God through sorrow for our sins, reconciliation between members of families, between classes of people, between nations. All this spells out the word peace, which has appeared in the sky above the town of Medjugorje a number of times in the Croatian. The word for that is M-I-R, Mir. And I've heard that it's even appeared over Scotland. They saw the word Mir in the sky. There is a great urgent need to seek this peace at once between the superpowers and all the other countries. The next word is conversion, repentance, a conversion from sin and its slavery to a loving relationship with God. And thousands of people are responding to this at Medjugorje by going to confession. There were times when there were as many as 70 priests hearing confessions as long lines of penitents waited to confess their sins in all languages. Prayer. Prayer is the lifeline to God, and without it, our efforts are wasted. With prayer, our life is enriched for holiness, and we have within us a barrier to sin and the evils of the world around us. The people of Medjugorje have been asked to give a half hour to prayer every morning and every evening. Now, under prayer, you have different forms. First, praise, adoration, and thanksgiving. Through their fervent hymn singing and adoration of the Blessed Sacrament each day in church, I conducted a one-hour period. Father Slavko Barbaric asked me to conduct an hour of adoration for the English-speaking people the first day that I was there. And that's a common practice now. So also through the Eucharistic celebration of the Mass, the people there worship, adore, thank God for their blessings. Now, the Mass is not just 1 hour. It can take 3 hours because it's preceded by 15 decades of the Rosary, the Litany of Our Lady, sometimes the Litany of the Saints, and other prayers, and after Mass, again, seven Our Fathers, Hail Marys, and Glories, which originally was the kind of prayer that they said. Then the next form of prayer is listening to the Word of God. At each Mass, each day, the people are given a beautiful, practical homily on God's Word as it's read to them in the readings of the Mass. And this is reinforced by the messages of our Blessed Mother to the people. She calls them back to the gospel message of good news, of repentance, of God's love and mercy to sinners, and the power of God for the good in their lives. And of course, there is the prayer of intercession. Besides personal prayer, Our Lady urges everyone to pray for the great needs of all the peoples of the world, for peace, for conversion. She urges us to pray together, especially the Rosary, which carries such great power for good and has done this in the history of the Church for centuries, which we dealt with last month. The communal Rosary is said each day before the celebration of the Mass as a beautiful preparation for the greatest act of worship in the world, the Eucharist. The Mass is the source and climax of all other prayers, because in it we receive God Himself, who comes to heal us, to enrich us with His holiness, mature us in the virtues and gifts of the Holy Spirit. And the last word in the basic message is fasting. Jesus fasted for 40 days before beginning His ministry. In the earliest days of the Church, prayer and fasting were a common practice, but have almost disappeared in our day. Our Lady is calling for fasting on bread and water every Friday to bring about peace. She did say, "Prayer and fasting can stop wars and prevent natural disasters like earthquakes, hurricanes, floods, plagues." Think of Gilbert, that terrible hurricane. It's one of the greatest in history. People with normal health can do this kind of fasting if they take bread and water three times in the day when they would take their normal meals. Fruits are also allowed to help digestion and to suit the needs of some people. But if people are not well, they can still fast in other ways, by not eating sweets, desserts, or certain meats. In other words, give up something that you like television for some hours. Fasting helps to bring body and soul into greater harmony, allows our spirit to pray more deeply, fervently, clears the mind, and gives us a sense of freedom from an overburdened digestive system. It has even been said that a person should drink from 1 to 2 quarts of water on their fast day. Our Lady is also asking for fast on bread and water on Wednesdays. Now, another important aspect of what's happening there, is it authentic? That's very important. Well, the Lord has given us the key principle that Holy Church follows too. That is, judge by the fruits. Jesus says you'll know them by their fruits. A good tree will not bear bad fruit, and a bad tree will not bear good fruit. Think of an apple tree. Now, what we're saying here, we respect the final decision of the Church. First of all, nothing contradictory to the Church's teaching is happening there. All the celebrations of the liturgy, prayer at Medjugorje, the spiritual life of the people, are in keeping with the strictest demands of the Church. The emphasis there is on the Eucharist each day, with the Rosary given a proper place before and after Mass. And don't think they're not with the times. The present pastor there to whom I spoke is now a charismatic for 8 years. He told me that. They have two prayer groups there, youth prayer groups. They're charismatic. All the children have been baptized in the Spirit. So have the nuns. Several of the priests. How many, I don't know. Another proof is an openness and ecumenism. Our Lady encourages the people to respect the faith of other people. Her apparitions are drawing the Muslims of that country to Medjugorje, and Protestant believers like David Duplessis, the grandfather of the Pentecostals, and a number of ministers as well. And many of you know of Wayne Weibel, a former Lutheran who is now a Catholic. Our Lady has said the best prayer is the Mass, so she leads us to Christ. That's good Mariology. A next insight into the authenticity, the absence of abnormal behavior in the apparitions. During the apparitions, the children now seem quite normal. In the beginning, they did show some emotional high because it was so new to them. But now, they're quite normal. In other words, there's no lethargy or feverish excitement. Their pulse is only slightly higher. Pupils are dilated. Nothing cataleptic. That means a person who is in rigor mortis, so stiff. No tension, no bending of the body, or head bending backward in an awkward position, as you may have seen in pictures of the children of Garabandal. No signs of hysterical behavior. Their bodies are quite flexible, positioned well, and in balance and quite at ease. Medical experiments on the children during the apparitions verify that they are normal and that they do see something, something that is of a supernatural and mystical character. All this indicates that there are apparitions of Our Lady. And then the visionaries are normal. Doctors, psychiatrists, psychologists have examined the children and found them in perfect physical health with a very good psychological balance. Perhaps you've seen pictures. They're almost wired up like the astronauts, with something on their head and wires all over them, even during the apparitions. They keep calm and even showed a sense of humor under trying circumstances. Like Visca, in the early days, all the children were taken to the police station in Mostar. And one of the officers threatened Visca with a gun pointed at her chest. And she said, "You wouldn't do that. That would be a waste of bullets. It would be against the economy." They show a genuine simplicity with no artificiality. Each preserves his or her own character. They communicate well with each other, though some are more communicative and aggressive, while others are content to simply look on, like Ivan. Their attitude shows no nervousness, but firm and balanced. They're joyful and happy. Maria said, "We are the happiest people in the world." If people say that Satan is responsible for producing this behavior during the apparition, then we must say that he's in the wrong business, because he's leading the visionaries to Christ and Mary and working against himself. And Jesus said, "A kingdom that is divided cannot stand." That's not Satan. Nor can the young people stage this kind of behavior for over 7 years as a false facade. They are too uneducated and simple for that. The only other explanation is that they are really dealing with visits from the Mother of God, who comes at a time when the world is in real danger of great crisis and when the church is under great trial. So the conclusion, the fruits of all this is happening, of all that's happening at Medjugorje, are very convincing at all levels. A normal balance, charisms, God's love. And the greatest Marian theologian today, René Laurentin, writes, "The dominant gifts are a naturalness of behavior, clarity, balance, freedom, love, trust in God, and daily prayer." And you can't argue with that. Now, the big question What is your and my obligation to believe in revelations? The teaching authority of the Church never demands our assent in faith to any revelations except those of Scripture. You are not bound under pain of sin to believe the revelations of Fatima, Lourdes, and so on. Private revelations like those of Medjugorje, Fatima, and Lourdes, after due examination of the Church will simply say, there are very good reasons for believing in these revelations, or it is good to believe in them because they are producing good fruits. And that's the extent of it. Now, Benedict XIV, before he became pontiff, prepared a document that is followed today on a canonization of servants of God, in which he wrote, it should be understood that this approbation, namely of sainthood, is nothing else than a permission to make these revelations known for the instruction and profit of the faithful. However, the assent or consent that we give in Catholic faith cannot be given to these revelations even when they have been thus approved, because it's restricted only to Scripture, which is directly inspired by God and for all the people of God. While this applies even to Lourdes and Fatima, to which bishops and popes have given the highest approval, it would be considered rash or dangerous to disagree with their judgment of such high authorities. And Pius X wrote about such supernatural events that the Church simply does not forbid belief in things for which are good, for which there are good human arguments. But the visionaries who are receiving the messages are bound to believe what they see and hear, for they are given special graces for this. They see Our Lady, we don't. In fact, they don't have to believe, they have a certainty. Now, the spiritual fruits. This also adds to the authenticity. Thousands of people who have gone to Medjugorje have received many fruits. Conversion, many healings of body, emotional healing, healing of relationships, special graces in answer to their prayers. They become more prayerful, are deeply committed to their Christian beliefs. Almost everyone acknowledges that they feel peace of heart, some more than others. All these fruits happening over a period of 7 years cannot be produced by simple visionaries, much less by Satan. And the only other conclusion is they are produced by heaven itself. They are produced by the action of the Holy Spirit through the intervention of our Blessed Lady. And now another important aspect, very important, the 10 secrets. How are we to understand the 10 secrets given to, first of all, 2 of the visionaries and 9 to the other 4 at this time? There's no clear interpretation, first of all, because we don't know what the secrets are. In this study, or in his study of the secrets, René Laurentien finds a seeming difference between statements made by Mirjana, she was the first to receive the 10, and Yelena, who receives interior revelations that have been considered authentic. Mirjana says, the last 2 of the 10 secrets are punishments and are inevitable. They can be diminished by prayer. But Yelena disagrees with this statement and says that prayer and conversion, fasting, can bring about all things good, including the removal of the punishment. Our Father René Laurentien explains
that this difference between the two shows that there is a certain degree of relativity in the message, which can be due either to the fact that the heavenly signs are measured to the capacity of the one who sees them, or to the fact that each person has his or her own receptivity, and therefore subjectivity. In other words, they can put their own view on it. And this has been verified in other revelations. To what extent are the visionaries interjecting their own views of these secrets? At Fatima, Lucy revealed that Our Lady said that if people did not pray and sacrifice, there would be a terrible war greater than the First World War. And that's exactly what happened. Our Lady did say to the children of Medjugorje that prayer and fasting can stop wars and prevent natural disasters. Does this extend to the last two secrets? The Franciscans, who have been with the visionaries from the very beginning, and one who is a spokesman for them, Father Philip Pavic, who speaks English and whom I met, also was the cantor at my Mass in the church for healing, shared the thinking of the Franciscans at Medjugorje. He said that the Franciscans disagree with those who emphasize the apocalyptic dangers and disasters that seem to be contained in Mary's message. They do not see Our Lady's appearances intended to inflict fear. He said, quote, "We don't see it as the end of the world, but as the end of the millennium. We're approaching 2000. Our Lady is getting ready for Jesus' 2000th birthday party," he said. Now, Father Pervan also expresses similar views in these words. The message of Mary is not a message of threats, dangers, and chastisements. It's a message of love. A mother is able only to love, not to threaten. Reports like those in newspaper clippings from Billings, Montana, showing that it might be the end of the world, he said, are doing a disservice to readers. The final understanding will perhaps only be known when the events take place. Meantime, if we live the gospel, pray, confess our sins, say the rosary, and fast, we'll be prepared for whatever will happen. Now, what are the secrets? The secrets as we know them from Mirjana, who revealed them to Father Tomislav Vlasic, who wrote them in a letter to Pope John Paul. And here I'm quoting the letter. "Before the visible sign, which is to be left for all humanity to see at the site of the apparitions of Medjugorje," that's called the Hill of Apparitions, Podbrdo, "is given to humanity, before it's given to humanity, there will be three warnings to the world. The warnings will be in the form of events on the earth. Mirjana will be a witness to them. 3 days before one of these warnings, Mirjana will notify a priest of her choice. He has already been chosen, and the name has been given. His name is Father Petar Lubicic. The witness of Mirjana will be a confirmation of the apparitions and a stimulus for the conversion of the world. After the admonitions, the visible sign that was promised will appear on the site of the Hill of Apparitions in Medjugorje for all the world to see. The sign will be given as a testimony to the apparitions and in order to call people back to faith. The ninth and tenth secrets are serious. They concern chastisements for the sins of the world. Punishment is inevitable, for we cannot expect the whole world to be converted. The punishment can be diminished by prayer and penance, but it cannot be eliminated." I'm quoting, I'm not commenting. This is Mirjana's words written down by Father Vlasic. Mirjana says that one of the evils that threatens the world the one contained in the seventh secret has been changed, thanks to prayer and fasting, has been withdrawn. That's why the Blessed Virgin continues to encourage prayer and fasting. She says, you have forgotten that through prayer and fasting you can avert war and suspend the laws of nature. Now, after the first admonition, the others will follow in rather short time, the other two, there are three of them. So people will have some time for conversion. The interval will be a period of grace and conversion. But after the visible sign appears on the Hill of Apparitions, those who are still alive will have little time for conversion. For that reason, the Blessed Virgin invites us to urgent conversion and reconciliation. The invitation to prayer and penance is meant to avert evil and war, but most of all to save souls. According to Mirjana, the events predicted by the Blessed Virgin are near. What near means is not certain. The final discernment has yet to be made, but in the meantime, let us listen to the advice of Our Lady and do as she says. She comes to us as a loving mother who is very concerned about her children and is being used by God to prevent the evils of our times from happening if we listen. It's not so much what heaven will do, so much as what sinful man is doing to bring about the evils that threaten us. Now, so much for that letter. Now, some other positive fruits that are evident. There's reconciliation between nations is one of the great potential fruits. Father Pervan shares this thought. Mary stresses reconciliation between Eastern and Western worlds. And part of making peace is to reconcile ideologies. People of the Eastern Bloc nations cannot go to the West, but they can easily travel to Yugoslavia, which is in between. And many are coming from Poland, Czechoslovakia, and Hungary. And I would think some are coming from Russia. From the West, there are people coming from Italy, Germany, Austria, France, Ireland, the United States, Philippines, Asian countries, even Australia, and just the other day, Singapore. Mary is bringing East and West together, bringing people together as brothers and sisters at Medjugorje. Also, reconciliation between different religions. Father Thomas Slava said that Mary said, all human beings are God's people, and her express wish is that these competing groups be reconciled, become brothers and sisters to each other. Muslims also are coming to Medjugorje, Protestants, Greek Orthodox. And another, marriage and motherhood are good and holy. Ivanka Ivankovich has chosen to marry. That was December the 28th, 1986. Now has a baby girl. In fact, five of my Third Order members went over there, and two of them lived in her home and showed us pictures. The fact that she chose to marry and chose motherhood is first a sign that she has hope for the future of the world. It also shows that she has a high degree of esteem for the life of a lay person in the church. When some of the villagers showed signs of being shocked that she chose to marry, Ivanka said, I didn't know that the sacrament of marriage was a sin. This response has encouraged many married people to think highly of their married state. One young married woman, her name is Laurie Packard, said, Ivanka's marriage gave me a tremendous sense of affirmation for the vocation of a lay person and a parent. Since Vatican II, there's been a development of the role, rights, responsibility of the laity in the church and the world. This confirms this kind of development. And then the expanding role of women in the church. While Mary is not God, she is the nearest person to God of all creatures, most intimately united with God as the spouse of the Holy Spirit, Mother of Jesus, Son of God. Her appearances to the visionaries are on a cloud. Now that's a biblical symbol of God's powerful presence. Also has a crown of 12 stars on her head, the image from the book of Revelations. This links Mary with the woman of the Revelations, who with her offspring will outwit the dragon, or the devil or Satan. Now while Mary is not God, as woman, or the woman of the Scriptures, she more than any other woman expresses what we have for so long overlooked. The motherhood, or call it the womanhood of God. The apparitions and messages of Mary at Medjugorje confirm the traditional teachings of the Church regarding Jesus and Mary, that Mary's first purpose as mother of God's people is to lead all her children back to Christ, to God. The highlight of each day's devotions is the celebration of the sacrifice of the Mass. What we have at Medjugorje is not the separation of mother and son, but the union of both Jesus and Mary in their proper place in the Church's life and in our life. Our Lady's constant messages refer us to her Son, to the Mass, to reconciliation with her Son, to the power of Jesus in our life. We hear her saying, "I am not your healer, my Son is, but I pray to him and intercede for you before him." Amen. Any questions?
Bread and water, the Blessed Mother also allows some fruit for digestion.
Yes.
It is allowed.
Yes. Some people have a difficulty with elimination.
Mm-hmm.
It's a dry process, and fruit helps. And it's still nourishing, too.
Right. I even felt with the bread and the water at times, I felt like my heart was palpitating. I thought that was because of the bread and the water.
Well, each person is different. If you're a normal person, healthy, fasting will not hurt you. But if you have a heart condition, if you have high blood pressure and so on, you'll have to experiment. But some sort of fasting. Some people say, "Oh, I can't do this, so I don't fast at all." Wrong. Fast from TV. Fast from that movie that you want to go to. Fast from a number of things. Well, one of you said that, so I'll repeat it. Too much chit-chat on the phone. Praying, fine. Pray on the phone. Yes? No. Later on, I'm going to tell you, people often ask the children, "What are the secrets?" And that was one of the questions asked to Ivan. And he said, "Well, they're secrets." Not even the Holy Father knows. See, heaven has said, "Do not reveal them to anyone." Any other question? Yes.
What is the attitude of the government?
Oh, the government's very cooperative. Money, money. They're getting 60% of everything that's done there. The homes that are turned into motels, if they're not owned by the people, they get 60%. If they're owned by the people, they get 50%. So $12 a night, they get at least $6. So that doesn't need much for those people who have to provide the food and provide the service and whatever. But they're showing prosperity. Some of them own cars. There are all kinds of cars there. Any other question? Yes.
Did you stay right in the village there?
Yes. We stayed with the family, and they provided all the service we needed. There were 17 of us in that home. Do you want to call it a home? But it was quite penitential, at least where I was. They charged me $12 for a little cubicle that you could just about move around in, and the bed was just a flat platform 6 inches from the floor with a straw mattress and one cabinet for your clothes and a chair, that's all.
How long did you stay?
5 days. And there were seven of us, had one bathroom. You had a shower, but you had no shower curtains. And the water went all over the floor, and they had a drain in the middle of the floor. So anybody came after you had to walk in barefooted, and it was quite wet. But it's a pilgrimage. It's not a tour.
Father, may I just add that things have improved. I don't know when you were there, but
July.
In July this year?
Yes.
Well, I was there in August, and I stayed at home, and there were seven of us, and we even had our own private kitchen and two baths to share, and there were only seven of us in the house.
Oh, then you were in the Conrad Hilton. Well, I guess the Lord wanted me to do penance. Carol.
We received the Episcopalian newspaper tidings from his diocese, and a priest from St. John's in Huntington, Episcopalian priest, went there and wrote a 2 or 3 page article, and he believes it's authentic. I was impressed. I really was waiting for something critical.
Mm-hmm. Praise God.
On one of my trips, I may add that we had a Jewish psychologist with us. Uh-huh. She came and stayed right in the family also, and her comment was that she truly believed that something was there.
Well, that's something. So a Jewish psychologist, huh? And she believes.
Yep.
Praise God. Mm-hmm. Debbie?
Oh,
later on I'm going to share the... See, I've given you what we would call the theological and the, as much as we can, kind of an authoritative outlook on what's happening there. And in the next conference, I'll give you my personal reactions and what happened to me and to us and whatever. But yes, I counted almost 30 motels going up in different process of construction. They're probably built by now. That's how fast it is. Yes?
Father, is it true that the apparitions have become shorter and
shorter? Not necessarily. They thought so. For a while, yes. But no. There are long messages that the children receive. In August of this year, Maria, who was in Rome, she receives Our Lady there every day. And she sent a message back by phone. It was a long paragraph. Jean? No, there are so many things that could be said. I can't give the witness of others or whatever. Oh, originally, yes.
Yeah, like,
see, in other words, there was a prophecy to the effect that all this would happen. And it was at the International Charismatic Conference. And one of the Franciscans was there. And he went there to kind of get the confusion straightened out in his own mind and what he should do. And Sister Breach McKenna prayed over him, and then she got a vision of what was happening there. And namely that thousands of people would come and that he was to prepare. And several months after that, or a couple of weeks after that, all this began to happen. That was in May. The visions happened in June. Yes?
Father, do they have a consolidated mass every day?
Every evening. Yes, every day. Every day. There are large pilgrim groups. By the way, the largest is the English from the United States. But there are large groups from all over the world. And they bring their own priests, several priests. And later on I'll share that I had a healing mass in that large church, like you have here.